This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska, and I have a story, a short one, here for you tonight, and later, a little poetry. It's called A Lifestyle by Fernando Sorrentino, and I'll get started on that in a second, but first, I have a quick PSA. Woosh Kanadi will host an open mic and poetry slam on Friday, May 16th at KTOO's 360 Studio. The event will be hosted by Bill Merck and Nathan Block with DJ Manu. The event is open to poets and performers of all ages and abilities. Signing up to perform opens at 6 p.m. The show starts at 6:30 p.m. Event is pay as you can. Wishkanadi is a local nonprofit committed to diversity, inclusive community, and empowering voice. The organization hosts monthly poetry slams and open mics throughout the community. And you can check them out on Facebook under Woosh Poetry. So that's this Friday, the 16th, at KTO's at 360 Studio. Doors open at 6 p.m. You can sign up if you want to be part of the open mic. And the show starts at 6:30, and it is pay as you can. So, I'll be right back. This is Ms. G, Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska, and I'll be back with my story. Stay tuned. And this is Ms. G, and I'm back with Telling Tales. So, first off, this short story by Fernando Sorrentino, translated by Thomas E. Meehan, titled A Lifestyle. In my youth, before becoming a farmer and cattleman, I was a bank employee. This is how it all came about. I was 24 years old at the time and had no close relatives. I was living in the same little apartment on Santa Fe Avenue between Canning and Arosa. Now, it's well known that accidents can happen even in such a small space. In my case, it was a tiny accident. When I tried to open the door to go to work, the key broke off in the lock. After resorting in vain to screwdrivers and pliers, I decided to call a locksmith shop. While waiting for the locksmith, I informed the bank I would be coming in a bit late. Fortunately, the locksmith arrived quite promptly. Concerning this man, I remember only that, although he looked young, his hair was completely white. Through the peephole, I said to him, "My key broke off in the lock." He sketched a quick gesture of annoyance in the air. On the inside, in that case, it's already a more difficult matter. It's going to take me at least 3 hours, and I have to charge you about, he estimated, a terribly high price. I don't have that much money in the house right now, I replied, but as soon as I get out, I'll go to the bank and pay you. He looked at me with reproachful eyes, as if I had suggested something immoral to him. I'm very sorry, sir, he articulated with instructive courtesy. But I am not only a charter member of the Argentine Locksmith Union, but also one of the principal framers of the Magna Carta of our organization. Nothing has been left to chance in it. If you should have the pleasure of reading this inspiring document, you would learn, in a chapter dedicated to basic maxims, that the perfect locksmith is prohibited from collecting subsequent to the conclusion of the work. I smiled incredulous. You're joking, of course. My dear sir, the subject of the Magna Carta of the Argentine Locksmiths Union is no joking matter. The writing of our Magna Carta, in which no detail has been overlooked and whose various chapters are governed by an underlying moral principle, took us years of arduous study. Of course, not everyone can understand it, since we often employ a symbolic or esoteric language. Nevertheless, I believe you will understand Clause 7 of our introduction. Gold shall open doors, and the doors shall adore it. I prepared not to accept such ridiculousness. Please, I said to him, be reasonable. Open the door for me, and I'll pay you at once. I'm sorry, sir. There are ethics in every profession, and in the locksmith's profession, they are inflexible. Good day, sir. And with that, he left. I stood there for a few moments, bewildered. Then I called the bank again and informed them I probably wouldn't be able to come in that day. Later on, I thought about the white-haired locksmith and said to myself, that man is a lunatic. I'm going to call another locksmith shop, and just in case, I'm not going to say I have no money until after they open the door for me. I searched in the telephone directory and called. What address? A guarded feminine voice asked me. 3653 Santa Fe, apartment 10A. She hesitated a moment, had me repeat the address, and said, impossible, sir. The Magna Carta of the Argentine Locksmiths Union prohibits us from doing any work at that address. I lit up in a flame of anger. Now listen here, don't be ridiculous. She hung up without letting me finish the word. So I went back to the telephone directory and placed some 20 calls to as many locksmith shops. The instant they heard the address, they all flatly refused to do the job. Okay, fine, I said to myself. I'll find a solution elsewhere. I called the janitor of the building and described the problem to him. Two things, he answered. In the first place, I don't know how to open locks. And in the second place, even if I did know how, I wouldn't do it, since my job is cleaning up the place and not letting suspicious birds out of their cages. Furthermore, you've never been too generous with your tips. I then started to get very nervous and carried out a series of useless, illogical actions. I had a cup of coffee, smoked a cigarette, sat down, stood up, took a few steps, washed my hands, drank a glass of water. Then I remembered Monica DeChieve. I dialed her number, waited, and heard her voice. Monica, I said, feigning sweetness and nonchalance. How's everything? How's it going, honey? Her reply left me trembling. So you finally remembered to call. I can tell you really love me. I haven't seen hide or hair of you in almost 2 weeks. Arguing with women is beyond my capacity, especially in the state of psychological inferiority in which I then found myself. Nevertheless, I tried to explain to her quickly what was happening to me. I don't know whether she didn't understand me or refused to hear me out. The last thing she said before hanging up was, I'm nobody's plaything. I now had to carry out a second series of useless, illogical actions. Then I called the bank in the hope that some fellow employee could come and open the door. Bad luck if it fell to my lot to talk to Enzo Paredes, a dim-witted joker whom I detested. So you can't get out of your house, he exclaimed abominably. You just never run out of excuses not to come to work. I was seized by something akin to homicidal urge. I hung up, called again, and asked for Michelangelo Laporta, who was a little brighter. Sure enough, he seemed interested in finding a solution. Tell me, was it the key or the lock that broke? The key. And it was left inside the lock? Half of it was left inside, I replied, already somewhat exasperated by this interrogation. And the other half outside. Didn't you try to get out the little piece that's stuck inside with a screwdriver? Yes, of course I tried, but it's impossible. Oh, well, then you're going to have to call a locksmith. I already called, I retorted, suppressing the rage that was choking me. But they want payment in advance. So pay him, and there you are. But don't you see I haven't got any money? Then he grew bored. Man, Skinny, you sure have your problems. I couldn't come up with a quick reply. I should have asked him for some money, but his remark left me baffled, and I couldn't think of anything. And so ended that day. The next day, I got up early to start making more phone calls. But something quite frequent, I found the telephone out of order. Another insoluble problem. How to request a repair service without a telephone to place the call? I went out onto the balcony and began to shout to people walking along Santa Fe Avenue. The street noise was deafening. Who could hear someone yelling from a 10th floor? At most, an occasional person would raise his head distractedly and then continue on his way. I next placed 5 sheets of paper and 4 carbons in the typewriter and composed the following message. Madam or sir, my key is broken off in the lock. I have been locked in for 2 days. Please do something to free me. 3653 Santa Fe, apartment 10A. I threw the 5 sheets over the railing. From such a height, the possibilities of a vertical drop were minimal. Wafted about on a whimsical wind, they fluttered around for a long time. 3 fell in the street and were immediately run over and blackened by the incessant vehicles. Another landed on a store awning, but the 5th one dropped on the sidewalk. Immediately, a diminutive gentleman picked it up and read it. He then looked up, shading his eyes with his left hand. I put on a friendly face for him. The gentleman tore the paper up into many little pieces and with an irate gesture hurled them into the gutter. In short, for many more weeks, I continued making all kinds of efforts. I threw hundreds of messages from the balcony. Either they weren't read or they were read and weren't taken seriously. One day I saw an envelope that had been slipped under my apartment door. The telephone company was cutting off my service for non-payment. Then, in succession, they cut off my gas, electricity, and water. At first I used up my provisions in an irrational way, but I realized in time what I was doing. I placed receptacles on the balcony to catch the rainwater. I ripped out my flowering plants, and in their flower pots I planted tomatoes, lentils, and other vegetables, which I tend with loving and painstaking care. But I also need animal protein, so I learned to breed insects, spiders, and rodents, and to make them reproduce in captivity. Sometimes I trap an occasional sparrow or pigeon. On sunny days, I manage to light a fire with a magnifying glass and paper. As fuel, I'm slowly burning the books, the furniture, the floorboards. I discover that there are always more things in a house than are necessary. I live quite comfortably, although I lack some things. For example, I don't know what's going on anywhere else. I don't read newspapers, and I can't get the television or radio working. From the balcony, I observe the outside world, and I notice some changes. At a certain point, the trolley stopped running. I don't know how long ago that happened. I've lost all notion of time, but the mirror, my baldness, my long white beard, and the pain in my joints tell me that I'm very old. For entertainment, I let my thoughts wander. I have no fear or ambitions. In a word, I'm relatively happy. That was A Lifestyle by Fernando Sorrentino, translated by Thomas C. Meehan. This is Ms. G giving you Telling Tales here tonight at 104.3 in Juneau, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned. And I'm back. This is G giving you Telling Tales here tonight here in Juneau at 104.3 in FM. I hope you enjoyed Fernando Sorrentino's A Lifestyle. That was a fun read. Next up, I have something by Catherine Howd Macon. It's dedicated to the women's writing workshops. We are the black swans, the women who swim, who fly at night, who are the night. Our golden feet touch quiet water, skim shining surface, plunge deep to make currents in dark weeds. We come and go. We know each other's names, each other's dreams. We dream each other. Dream the flight past ragged moon, past singing stars, and it comes true. Dream the telling, the shapes of rain and frogs and light, and it comes true. We are the wings. We reach for wind and make it ours. We become the wind. Our words are swan words, black and full. We go distances, return, and endure. That was Catherine Howd Macon's poem dedicated to the Women's Workshop, which was founded by Beverly Tannenhaus. We become wind, water, bird, medicine. Bosque de Apache. The migrating flock rises, sand, hill, great blue heron, snow goose. Lift their long feathered wings, webbed talons skipping on edge of water, neck straining, beaks thrust forward, the racket, the pterodactyl cry of cranes. I stand, wingless, as they spiral upward. My heart is pulled from my chest. I sigh, and my breath becomes a rung in the ladder of 10 billion animal breaths. Each wing beat, rippling this air as I rise with them into the trembling light flooding the land. And know now how every human exhalation feeds the body of green leaves. Wind makes a passage for itself, makes a breath for itself, rushing through the hollow bone of my flesh flute. Whose breath blows, making music of me? That was by Anne Philomere. We become wind, water, bird, medicine. Bosque de Apache. I'll be right back. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at KTO 104.3. Stay tuned. And this is Ms. G. I am back, and I found a story that I think is just wonderful, and I wanted to share it with you. It's by Bonnie J. Morris. At 20, I discovered women's music festivals, Dirt Path, Revolutions in the Ferns. I spent 2 weeks of every 52 beneath two trees, my doorway in the woods into another world. A life of working there with pin and hammer. I see beauty in all faces, all women, near and far. All winds blow, all ferns and grasses grow, all cello weep, all hands write. And writing moves the body, the memory in the bones. Lift me up into these trees and into these women's arms, all branches intertwining. We remember all we felt, saw, heard, tasted, touched, gathering these 35 years, and I recall because I wrote it down. I wrote in the light spill from the stage, or in the protective shadow of a lover's sleeping limbs. I wrote in the benevolent darkness late at night when the damp wood smoke air curled the paper eagerly upward to soak in the words. This tribe of women returned year after year to hillsides between sky and ground, preserving our own storylines, saturating fern and hay bale, leaf and root with our collective joys. We made love to our culture and we wrote the memory down. Night moved through our fingertips and guided hands to write with pen. Braille, stylus, keyboard. Get those stories down. The moon, the Milky Way, the cream smear of falling stars, the bats and frogs and wood chips, raccoons on a log. My jacket hangs on a tree stump every night, and I wear a spider web each dawn. Remember this. Preserve. Pass on, embellish, enliven, and unfold. All winds will blow this history into dust, unless we write it down and name it holy. I walk there with my shirt off every summer for more than half my life. That was by Bonnie J. Morris. It is untitled. This is Ms. G. I am bringing you Telling Tales, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Would you invoke love amidst...
And this is Ms. G, back with Telling Tales, but 5 minutes on the clock, and I just wanted to give you one last little experience for Beltane, which was May 1st. The hills are greening, flowers bloom, their bird song, nest making, and gardens waiting for blessing. With the maiden earth in ovulation, creatures are enlivened, inclined to entwine. Warm-hearted, we stretch in the sun, walk barefoot in the new grass. Bear the spring rains with good cheer and gratefulness, passion stir. Flashes of sweet desire, hot lightning of anger, gusts of giddiness, heartbreaks of grief, and fits of unbearable joy. How to meet these relentless tremors? Dance! In circles, growl and flirt, wail and strut and yip. Exaggerate feelings until laughter or tears claim you and keep dancing. No matter the furies unleashed in the world, a circle of women dancing out passions is a potent alchemical mandala. Shakers sing it this way. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. Weaving in and around one another, we thread our passions in the web. Warp and woof spokes and runners, take up your strands with clear intent. Weave what you want into being, into life. That was Marion Spadone and Beltane. Well, this has been Telling Tales here tonight, here at KTO 104.3. And last, but definitely not least, I was going to read that PSA one more time. Whoosh Canadier will host an open mic and poetry slam on Friday, May 16th at KTOO's 360 studio. The event will be hosted by Bill Merck and Nathan Block with DJ Manu. The event is open to poets and performers of all ages and abilities. Sign up to perform opens at 6 p.m. The show starts at 6:30. Event is pay as you can. And you can check out Whoosh Poetry on Facebook and learn more about them or just say hi. This is Ms. G, and this has been Telling Tales here tonight. Now I'm going to leave you with some wonderful music. Until next time, good night.